This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
Time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show. We talk soccer in Atlanta, Georgia, Southeast, United States, the rest of the world. It's what we do. It's AST. We're on a Monday. That's a little different tonight. We'll be back in our normal Tuesday slot in a couple of weeks. You know, it's March Madness. There's things happening on Tuesdays. So we're moving over to Mondays. And this one's even a little more weird because, you know, 24 hours ago, we were in the midst of the full-time report talking about Atlanta United and a 2-1 loss to Inter Miami at the Benz. A little Sunday night soccer action. I really like the Sunday night soccer franchise from Apple TV, from MLS Season Pass. It's not something wild and new that we've never seen before. This is, you know, essentially what the NFL did when they created Monday Night Football. And then Monday Night Football really became Sunday Night Football. And Monday Night Football was secondary. And now they're trying to make them co-equals and yada, yada, yada. Having a game that is separated from the rest of the schedule and made special is a really good move for Major League Soccer. I've really enjoyed the scheduling this season. I'm not going to enjoy it next week. We'll talk about that as we go tonight. But I've enjoyed the scheduling with more time slots for games. I feel more connected to the league than I did in the last couple of seasons, where, especially with the West Coast, you didn't really get to see as much of the Western Conference. You didn't get to see as many different games because you had so many games starting at around the same time. I really like, in general, the scheduling format for MLS. I love the Sunday night soccer element. And last night felt big. Last night felt like the coming out party for Sunday night soccer. This was a game that had all the eyes of soccer fans in the United States on it. You had Lionel Messi starting, playing with an intensity that you might not be accustomed to if you haven't seen him in the biggest of big games with Argentina and with Barcelona over the years, and maybe a little bit with PSG. He was up for this. He was up for this like Atlanta was wearing orange and they were from Amsterdam. If you have never watched the Argentina-Netherlands World Cup quarterfinal from 2022, go watch it. Messi was out of his mind. He was borderline there last night. The idea that I talked about in pregame of this felt like a revenge game for Miami. The naysayers who say that regular season games don't matter as much in Major League Soccer need to sit and watch this. You saw Messi covering a lot of ground. You saw him defending in a way that you might not be accustomed to. Same with Luis Suarez. You saw Jordi Alba come in with a bad attitude from minute one. This game felt like a playoff match. And it didn't go Atlanta United's way. And that's something that we're going to have to talk about, and we'll dig into some of the reasons why. But it is game 4 of 34. That needs to be kept in mind here, because I think if you draw a line in terms of progression, in terms of quality, game 1, game 2 for Atlanta, similar. You got goals in game 1 that you didn't get in game 2. You gave up, I think, fewer good chances in game 2 versus game 1, even though you gave up the same number of goals. The game in Charlotte on the road, that's a little more difficult to begin with. I think you can say that from game 1 to game 2 to game 3 to game 4, Atlanta United has improved in each game. I think this was their best overall performance. It was against the highest quality of opponent. Inter Miami is that good. This is a team that in the regular season last year was better than any team has ever been in the regular season in MLS history. Yes, Atlanta knocked them out of the postseason, but the quality is there. And you saw it last night. The game came down to big chances, and Miami converted on 2 of 3, and Atlanta converted on 1 of 2. That's your ball game. Outside of that, it's pretty even. And Atlanta had the better of the play for, I think, a longer stretch in the first half than Miami had in general. But the game felt very, very even. And Atlanta performed well, in my opinion. The goals you concede, the first one is a mistake from Bartosz Ślisz. I did like how he rebounded. I did not like how he got caught here in possession. And Lionel Messi picks his pocket. Now, Miami was so impressive to me in the way that they defended high up the field. And if you're looking for the differences in the Herons in 2024, where they were so offensively focused and so overwhelming to teams at times just on pure attack, and defensively, not so much. That's not the case anymore. This is a different Miami, and Javier Mascherano, give that man his flowers. I wondered how he would be as a coach. Loved him as a player. Loved him as a center back or a holding midfielder. Love his soccer brain. One of the toughest players you will ever find. Again, if you know you're talking about Argentines and the Dutch, read about Javier Mascherano in the World Cup semifinal in 2014 and what he did to keep Argentina level in that match and going to a shootout. It's not something most soccer players have to experience, and Mr. Mascherano did that. Tough as nails. And I think what he's brought to this team that's different than what Tata Martino's Inter Miami gave you is they are much more organized defensively. He's never going to get, or he's never going to want, Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez to run themselves into the ground defensively. He wants them to score goals, create goals, finish plays. But to make this work, he needs them to do certain things defensively. And I thought Suarez especially, and Messi to a slightly lesser extent, were very intelligent in how they positioned themselves defensively high up the field and allowed the rest of the group around them, Shinde, Segovia, Yannick Bright at times, Jordi Alba high up the field, to go chase the game. And they were really disruptive to Atlanta in buildup. I thought Miami defending in many situations in the same shape that they were attacking in, a 3-2-5, five up high. It was surprising. It was effective. And it can be a problem for teams this season if they can maintain that level. If you can continue to get not wild running from Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi, but organized, focused defending high up the field. That's one way that Messi gets the opportunity to pick Slesha's pocket. It's not about running and chasing. It's about being organized. And I think what Javier Mascherano has done, he's brought that to this group. They're better than they were last year. I think a lot of other teams are better too. I think Atlanta United is better than they were last year. At the same stage, in terms of the overall ceiling of this team, I think the floor needs to continue to rise. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to eliminate making mistakes. And I think one way that this team at times gets caught up in making mistakes is they worry about it. And, you know, I think the conversation in the post-game press conference turned around to anxiety. I liked what Ronnie Dyla said in terms of wanting his team to play more freely. Here's a clip from the post-game press conference last night, Ronnie Dyla speaking on that very topic.
That's, so you know, the consequences we have to stop thinking about. As I said to the players all the time, I said, I take the consequences. We need to go out there and enjoy playing and feel free, but of course being disciplined in what we are talking about. But we look a little bit a step behind during the game. So that's something I have to look to as well, what we have done training-wise this week, information to the players. That's also a learning point that I need to look through, because I've seen us fresher than we were today.
Really interesting from Ronnie Dyla, and I liked what he said about wanting his players to not worry about consequences. He wants them to play. He wants them to make decisions. He doesn't want them to play with a nagging question in the back of their mind. You saw it at times come out. You saw it at times where it wasn't. And I think you need to see more of that. I really like how he put that. I also liked something that Derek Williams had to say. I had the chance to catch up with him after the match. And, you know, I understand in these cases, players, the last person they want to talk to after a game like that is me. Full credit to Derek for taking the time for me outside the locker room last night. This is the question and answer that I gave him. He gave the answer about kind of where things stand at this point. Here's Derek Williams.
One of those games that early in a season you feel like provides a lot of lessons going forward for the group.
Yeah, 100%. But we got too many good players right now, which we should be doing better, all of us. I think if you look across the 11, we don't have enough people playing and a 7 or 8 above. And we need that. We can't just have 4 or 5. So we need to have a look at ourselves and really just... It's so frustrating because the first 25 minutes, you can see how good we looked.
Yep.
Two touch. Go to one side, go to the other side, attack. And then it's just dwell on the ball. Slow, try to go through the middle. It's, yeah, so frustrating.
That's Derek Williams after the match last night. And you can hear the frustration in his voice. And I think he's right on two different fronts. One is Atlanta United needed to force the ball to Brooks Lennon as much as possible last night, because you saw what happened when they did. He created two goals. One of them was offside. That made it difficult for Jordi Alba to get forward, because Atlanta was creating 2v1s with Almiron and Lennon on the right side. They needed to stick with that. They needed to drive that point home. They need to be a little more blinkered at times. Find something that works and ram it down the opponent's throat until they stop it. I don't know why this team doesn't do that. I understand why they get hung up on going through the middle, because they have very talented players who like to play in that space with Almiron and Maranchuk and Saba and Slesh. I get it. And Muyumba. I understand. But This team looks its best when it creates from wide positions. They've got to figure out how to make sure that happens more often. And the first part of what Derek said is the other element here. You talk about these two teams and Atlanta United and Inter Miami, and you talk about the quality. And look, it's different kinds of quality. You talk about Latte Lat, you talk about Luis Suarez. You talk about Lionel Messi, you talk about Miguel Almiron. You talk about Alexi Maranchuk, you talk about Sergio Busquets, you talk about Jordi Alba, you talk about Saba Lobjanidze. We can go on and on. Different kinds of quality, but extremely high levels of quality. The difference? Last night, Lionel Messi played at an 8 or a 9 out of 10. Miguel Almiron did not. Saba Lobjanidze did not. Alexi Maranchuk did not. Latte Lat did. He didn't get enough service. He needed more. You want him to put the ball in the back of the net. That's the focus. He did it twice. One time he was very narrowly offside. The big players in this team need to play like the big players in this team. I thought the two best players for Atlanta United last night were Tristan Muyumba and Sion Gregerson. And Sion Gregerson's expected to be a big figure in this group. Tristan Muyumba is not, in comparison to the other names that I've mentioned. That's a credit to Tristan. He was very, very good. But you need the big guys, the guys who are capable of the 7 out of 10s, 8 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s, more often. You need those performances from those players. Other teams are getting them right now, and Atlanta isn't. They're not getting twos or threes. They're getting fours and fives and sixes. They need sevens and eights and nines. And that's the next step. That's the difference in quality. That's the difference in conversion. That's the difference in taking a good chance and turning it into a goal. That's the difference right now. We're going to talk more about what Atlanta can learn from the loss last night to Inter Miami. We're going to talk about what this weekend is looking like in Cincinnati and a little bit more talk around Major League Soccer when Atlanta Soccer Tonight returns. We'll be back right after this on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We're back. I'm Jason Longshore. We're trying to make sense of last night, Atlanta United and Inter Miami, where Atlanta plays their best game of the season and gets nothing to show for it. We're four games in. It's 4 of 34. Can you learn anything from 4 of 34? What do we know about Atlanta United in 2025 at this stage? It's been kind of one of the talking points, maybe even before this game. I think before you've played four games, it's kind of hard to get a sense of who's who. Even after four games, it's not always easy. The Vancouver Whitecaps are the best team in the history of Major League Soccer right now because they're perfect. Four wins out of four games. They're the seventh team in history to do that. They're the best. They're going to win MLS Cup. That's what we've learned through four. Do you believe that? I like Vancouver, but... So, what have we learned through four games with Atlanta United? I think they've improved defensively from last season. I think they have improved in overall quality of performance every time they've played this season, including preseason. I feel like it has ramped up and gotten better each time. Maybe not at the same rate, but it's gotten better. I feel like the potential of this team is still extremely high. I agree with something Garth Lagerwey said, and I kind of mentioned it in the first segment. He was on with us in pregame yesterday, and I agree with something he said about the need to continue to raise the floor of this team. Every team's got a range, and it kind of goes back to what Derek Williams said about needing guys to be at a 7 and 8. Performance level out of 10 as opposed to a 4 or a 5. Every team's got a range. I think Atlanta United on the high end of that potential range is in the conversation with Miami, in the conversation with the New York Red Bulls, in the conversation with LAFC, especially if they go and they sign Antoine Griezmann, which is being talked about for next season or for the summer, actually, especially if Olivier Giroud actually remembers how to put the ball in the back of the net, but I digress. I think Atlanta United has that kind of high-end potential. But I think they have a little bit wider range in terms of where their performances fall. That's something that's gotta continue to evolve. I think it's better now than it was after game one and after game two and after game three. But it's gotta continue to get tighter. One of the answers that stuck with me from Ronnie Dyla's post-game press conference from last night is kind of this, like, what do you take away from a game like this? It's kind of what I was asking Derek Williams about. What does this mean in the big picture? What is the takeaway from last night for Ronnie Dyla and for Atlanta United? Here's what he had to say.
Learn through experiences. That's also, I learned them. They learned me through these kind of things. And I can see things that we need to work on. So that I think you have seen before also. And for me, we need to take away all the consequences. You know, that's for me, I don't know if that is something that they go around, but that's something we have to talk about, because I felt that we started really well. Go 1-0 up, and then we gave away our goal, and then I felt it come a little bit over us. So we have to keep that momentum over longer time and do the things that works. So it's strange that we start to do something different. But again, you also have to get credit to them. They're a good team, and that is the top level in this league. So we show that we can play equal with them when we play open. When we try to attack, we try to press, and we play with a back four. So that's something to learn on and move on from.
I think what Dyla ended with is where I want to end this conversation before we move on to Cincinnati and this weekend. He wants this team to play fearlessly. The conversation about wanting to eliminate consequences in terms of the way that they play. There are, we know, it's, look, English is a second language. Let's keep that in mind here. But I do like the word consequences in this conversation. He wants players to eliminate that from their mind. Because when you think about the consequences of how you play and the decisions you make, you do not play open. You do not press high. You do not take chances. You play safe. He does not want Atlanta United to play safe. That's the last thing that Ronnie Dyla wants. And I think he feels like this team is doing that too often right now. It's understandable. To play as wide open and as aggressively as I think Dyla envisions, that's difficult for a group of players to accept, because they are thinking about the consequences, maybe not of every action, of every pass, of every movement on the field, but they're thinking about it in a big picture standpoint. It's always easier to play safe. He doesn't want that from this group. And I talked about the balance this season of being a battle between being open, aggressive, and having control. This is essentially the same thing. It fits into that same narrative for me. He wants this team to not worry as much about control. There's times for it. He wants this team to be open and be aggressive. And I think you hear from some of the players at times a internal pull for control. I want to see how that gets resolved. It's not easy. It's not going to be simple. It's going to take time. But that's what's ultimately going to either work or not work for Atlanta United in 2025. Can they find the right balance between being open, being aggressive, pressing, getting forward fast, moving the ball from side to side, taking chances, and not playing afraid? Can they find the balance between that and keeping some control in matches? I'm fascinated to see where this goes. I love the philosophical duel that we're seeing in Atlanta United in 2025, and it's going to be fun to see how it evolves. I don't know if this weekend is going to give us any kind of a sense of where that philosophical dilemma is going, because this is going to be a very different team on Saturday afternoon in Cincinnati. 10 call-ups for national team duty from Atlanta United as a club. 8 from the first team, 2 from Atlanta United, 2. I don't love when Major League Soccer plays through international breaks. Right now, unfortunately, the way that international breaks are structured, you have to pick your battles, and you'd rather play through this one than play through the ones in the fall where you're getting closer to the playoffs. I know every game counts the same amount, but we also know that games later in the season have a bigger feel for some teams because of playoff pictures and such. You have to do it somewhere. They do it here. It's going to be a mess. 5 center backs from Atlanta United as a club have been called up. 5. You play 2. You're losing 5. Do the math. Stian Gregersen is going to Norway. Luis Abram going to Peru. Efrain Morales going to Bolivia. Noah Cobb going to the US U-20s. Caden Moore from Atlanta United, too. We're going through the names of who might get called up. I'm thinking Caden Moore might get a call up. He's going to the US U-18s. Dominic Chongqui, also from Atlanta United, too. He's going with Caden to the US U-18s. Big time congrats to both of them. So center back's going to be an issue. Central midfield. Bartosz Ślisz, Poland. Jay Fortune, Trinidad and Tobago. On the wings, Miguel Almiron going to Paraguay. Luke Brennan going to the US U-20s alongside Noah Cobb. This is going to look really different. It's a good thing you got Brooks Lennon back. That helps a lot. I thought Brooks was great in this one, especially in terms of stretching the field and doing the things that you need. He was asked about what the Cincinnati game could look like. Here's what Brooks Lennon said last night.
Obviously playing against a great Cincinnati team in Cincy, and like you said, we're missing a lot of guys with international duty, and you know, I think that's credit to our locker room with the amount of guys that are getting called into their national teams. You know, it's great, but it's also a curse. You know, it's cool to see these guys, and hopefully I can be there one day. You know, as much as I don't want to miss games for Atlanta, you know, I'd love to get called into the U.S. team eventually, but yeah, we're going to have to use our full roster, and that's why, you know, Garth and the front office have built such a great roster this year, is we're going to have to use everyone in the depth that we have, and you know, we can go there and get 3 points.
Yeah, you're going to have to get deep into that depth, especially at center back, because you have Derek Williams and you have Derek Williams. You need more than one center back. You're hoping that Ronald Hernandez will be able to rejoin the group. He has played some center back, not as often in a line of four, but he has done it. You don't really have a central midfielder that would naturally be able to drop into this position. That would be the other spot that you would look at outside of fullback to be able to go. And you don't have a lot of depth in either one of those spots. You don't have a lot of extra fullbacks, especially with Hernandez not at 100%. You don't have a lot of extra central midfielders because you're shorthanded there. I do not know how this gets solved. I really don't for Ronnie Dyla. I'm fascinated to see training tomorrow. I don't know how much of training like we're going to be able to tell anything for because of the way the schedule is worked out with playing on Sunday. Normally that first day back would be Monday. It would be a little bit lighter, and then Tuesday would be more of a normal session. I think you're going to have to go straight into it here. Are you looking at potentially Sal Masafero from Atlanta United 2 getting a call up here to play for the first team because he's a center back and he's a natural center back. He's very inexperienced at this level, but you don't have a whole lot of other options. Ronan Wynn, can you find an international slot for him? He can play center back. We saw it in preseason, even though he's a fullback. I don't know what you can do. I don't know how you can solve it. I really don't. Central midfield, you're missing Ślisz and you're missing Fortune. You have Muyamba. Hopefully you have Mateusz Klik back. You do have Will Riley. Riley might be pressed into service. On the wings, now Edwin Mosquera, question about his availability after being injured late in the game last night. You have Sean De Silva, who could replace Miguel Almiron. Saba is not getting called up. Moranchuk is not getting called up. Latte Lott is not getting called up. Those are good things. Brooksland and Pedro Amador at fullback, those are good things. You have things you can do to hurt Cincinnati. Cincinnati's going to be missing a lot of center backs. Miles Robinson is a question mark for this one. Nick Haglund hasn't been playing lately. Matt Miazga coming back from injury. You got a lot of questions at center back for Cincinnati, too. This could be a really weird game on Saturday afternoon. We'll be live starting at 1:30 from the Midtown Atlanta studios at Colony Square with Madison Cruz and Abe Gordon. They'll get you set. We will talk to Chris Henderson in Cincinnati about midway through that pregame show, and kickoff will be at 2:40 from TQL Stadium in FC Cincinnati with myself and with Mike Conti. We'll figure it out as we go this week, folks, because I do not have a lot of answers on what the lineup's going to look like on Saturday afternoon in Cincy. I do know this. Coming up after the break, it's going to be the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. That's coming up right after this on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. You're listening to Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. This is how we wrap up AST each and every Tuesday, typically, but we'll be back on Monday next week as well. Three local stories, four headlines from anywhere in the world, and three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. I do want to throw one extra thing in. Sometimes when you talk formations, you include the goalkeeper. I'm going to include this one to make it a 1-3-4-3 this week. Don't throw things at referees, people. It's very sad to see Atlanta fans throwing things at the referees as they're leaving the field, especially when Edwin Mosquera is on the ground in the vicinity and nearly getting hit with stuff. Don't do it. just because they do it in France where they're throwing flares and setting fires in the stands, that's not good. Don't do it. Don't throw things at referees. It doesn't make you a better soccer fan. It doesn't make you cool. It's stupid. It's dangerous. And hopefully the people who did it are going to get punished and probably not be able to come to games for a while. Don't throw things at the referees when they're leaving the field. Don't throw things at opposing players. Don't throw things at anybody from anywhere on the field. Please, just don't do it. It needs to stop. It's happened too many times. It's not acceptable. Don't do it. That's your number one in the 3-4-3. Let's go to the three local stories. Number one, Atlanta United 2. 2-2 draw last night in Orlando, so they get a point, but they lost the post-match shootout to get the bonus point. Outshot Orlando City B 20-9. Six shots on target for Atlanta, five for Orlando. Really dominated a lot of the stats, but the stats don't decide the games. Luke Brennan opened the scoring in the 30th minute. Sal Mazzaferro, he had the assist. Orlando scored twice after that, made it 2-1. Ronan Wynn leveled it in the 78th minute. Rodrigo Neri with the assist. 2-2. Shootout went Orlando's way, but you get a point on the road. Good performance from Atlanta United, too. And Luke Brennan getting the opening goal. That helps get him that call-up to the U.S. U-20s coming up, along with Dominic Chonqui, along with Caden Moore, along with Efrain Morales, who has played a lot for Atlanta United too as well. Big congrats to all of them. Number two on the local side, the boys all classification rankings in the GHSA. You have four teams at the top, five of the top six, six of the top eight that have not lost this season. And you're getting into that 8, 9, 10 games played range for most teams around the state. River Ridge ranked number one in all classifications at 9-0. Archer 10-0, they're two. Dalton 3 at 9-0. Norcross 8-0-1, number four. McIntosh, big rebound after a loss to Dalton earlier this season, 11-1 for the Chiefs. They're fifth. Northwest Whitfield 8-0. They're going to play Dalton here coming up. That'll be a fun one to see. Johns Creek number seven, 11-1. Hebron Christian 10-0. Harrison 9-1, Columbus 8-2 to round out your top 10. Number three, let's move over to the girls' all classification rankings. Beaufort number one at 10-0, Roswell number two at 10-0, Brookwood number three at 10-0, West Forsyth, a defending state champion, 8-1, they're in fourth. Northgate undefeated 7-0, they're fifth. Walton 10-1 in sixth. North Oconee, 8-1 in seventh. Greater Atlanta Christian, who I saw on Friday night, beat Johnson of Gainesville. Really good performance from the girls from GAC. They're eighth overall. Blessed Trinity, ninth at 8-1. Harrison, 10th at 8-2. That's the girls' all classification rankings from the GHSA. Let's move over to the headlines on this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Number one. Busy next 2 weeks in CONCACAF. Let's start with the U.S. men's national team. They are in the Nations League semifinals playing Panama on Thursday night. Canada plays Mexico in the other semifinal. The winners will play on Sunday in Inglewood, California. The losers will also play on Sunday in the third place playoff. That's one part of CONCACAF's busyness. The other one is Gold Cup qualifying. Mentioned Jay Fortune getting called up to Trinidad and Tobago. They are in a home and away with Cuba to earn a Gold Cup spot. Your other Gold Cup qualifying matchups, Belize versus Costa Rica, St. Vincent's and the Grenadines versus Jamaica, Bermuda versus Honduras, Guyana versus Guatemala, Suriname versus Martinique, and Guadeloupe versus Nicaragua. Winners of those will join the rest of the teams in the Gold Cup, and the Gold Cup draw will be on April 10th in Miami. Teams are going to be ranked according to their FIFA rankings. We know Mexico is the defending champions, will be in Group A. The next three highest ranked teams will be put into the seeded spots in their groups, and then everybody else will go into pots and we'll get a draw and we'll see where it ends up. The U.S. is there. We'll see where they end up getting, who they end up getting in their group. It'll be very, very interesting in the Gold Cup this summer in CONCACAF. Number two in the headlines, Lionel Messi. We saw him score a wonder goal last night for Inter Miami. We saw him play with an intensity that we maybe haven't seen in a little while. Well, he was so focused on revenge that he played through an adductor injury, and he will miss the games with Argentina over the next week and a half. Shocking, because I thought he was ramping up for these games where they face Brazil and Uruguay. Two huge games for Argentina. Anytime you have those two teams on the schedule, it's a big day. It's a big deal. He's not going to play. Did not get named to the final roster due to the injury. Inter Miami said that he had undergone an MRI on Monday. Minor injury. Would assume he doesn't play this weekend for Inter Miami. I don't know how long he'll be out. It looked like on the shot that Brad Guzan had the kick save, maybe that's where it happened. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing for Lionel Messi, but look, the man's 37 years old. These things are going to happen. How he rebounds from them and how he stays as healthy as he can to try to win trophies for Inter Miami, and I think to try to lead Argentina to a defense of their World Cup title in 2026. I think those are the two big focuses for Lionel Messi going forward. We'll see how he manages the injury issues and his body between now and, for Argentina's sake, hopefully a World Cup final in 2026. Number three on the headlines. Atletico Madrid was having one of the best seasons they've ever had, and in the span of less than a week, it's all turned south. It looked like they were going to beat Real Madrid. They're rising in La Liga, and now both are in jeopardy. A crazy shootout where you get a double touch violation on a penalty that you can hardly tell that there is a double touch. It's very minor. The ball doesn't really move from its spot. It maybe bobbled on Julian Alvarez's double touch with his plant foot sliding and hitting it. That means, because that is the rule, if you touch the ball twice in a penalty, it's a bad penalty. You don't get to take it again, which I think is a horrible rule, and that needs to change. Doesn't help Atleti here. So they lose the shootout to Real Madrid. They take a 2-0 lead against Barcelona on Sunday. They end up losing 4-2. Diego Simeone, the manager, was asked about this. He's like, what can we do? On Wednesday, we get back to training with the same motivation as always, the same spirit, and accepting that it is what it is. Hate it for Cholo, one of the great managers. Different style than I enjoy, but you have to respect what he has done with Atletico Madrid, really the number three of the great teams in Spain behind Real Madrid and Barca. He has them punch above their weight quite often. They were doing that for most of the season, but now they've got to find a way to regroup and try to get something out of the year in La Liga. We'll see. Number four on the headlines, Copa Libertadores. The groups were drawn tonight. The most interesting group for me is Group B. River Plate from Argentina, Universitario from Peru, and two Ecuadorian clubs, Independiente del Valle and Barcelona. Gonna be interesting. One, Independiente del Valle, one of the best developers of young talent in the world. Barcelona, maybe the best dressed manager in the world. We talked about him on a morning show with Sam and with Noel. Segundo Castillo, Sir Alexander Castle. Unbelievable. I can't wait to see what he's going to do in Copa Libertadores. What kind of suits is this man going to have prepared for the Copa Libertadores, especially playing River Plate in Buenos Aires? Come on. It's going to be outlandish. Some other groups that jump out to me. I mean, you have the Group F with Bahia from Brazil, but you have Nacional from Uruguay, Internacional from Brazil, and Atletico Nacional from Colombia. It's going to get confusing in that group. Botafogo, who won Libertadores last year, they are in a group with Estudiantes, Universidad de Chile, and Caraboro of Venezuela. This is a group that Botafogo should go through. Estudiantes could. Foster Gillette has talked about spending a lot of money for Estudiantes, but also it sounds like he has been sued by River Plate and maybe other clubs coming up. Foster Gillette, his dad was a former owner of Liverpool. Yeah, he's been talking a lot, but not actually writing the checks that his mouth has talked about. And things could get really weird for Estudiantes. So keep an eye on that storyline. We'll keep you posted on AST as we go. Foster Gillette does not make me smile. Here's three things that do make me smile about this game that I love so much. Sporting Kansas City, they were down 3-0, and to the point that the conversations are about how long does Peter Vermes have in this job? He's one of the longest tenured managers in the world right now. Well, his team came back to tie, and they scored 3 goals in 12 minutes to get a point against Minnesota. You had snow, you had the orange ball, you had chaos. Great MLS. It was peak MLS on Saturday night with Sporting Kansas City coming back to get a 3-3 draw. It's a lot of fun. Number two on things that make me smile, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. First round starts tomorrow. Here's your semi-local teams to be keeping an eye on in the tournament. Asheville City, they are hosting Greenville Triumph tomorrow at 7:30. You can watch all of these games on the U.S. Soccer YouTube channel, by the way. Chattanooga FC, they are hosting Corpus Christi FC on Wednesday at 6:30 at Finley Stadium. Appalachian FC, they are hosting One Knoxville on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in Boone, North Carolina. Little Rock Rangers hosting Birmingham Legion on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. That could be a really interesting game, by the way. South Georgia Tormenta down in Statesboro, they are hosting Harbor City FC of Florida. That's Thursday at 7 o'clock. And the one that I'm probably looking forward to the most, Carolina Core hosting Soda City FC of the UPSL. That's Thursday at 7:30. I've called Soda City in a national championship game that they won. They're the back-to-back national champions of UPSL. I've seen them firsthand many times. That's a really good team and a team with a ton of spirit. I did a great interview with their captain, TJ Paul, and their coach, George Trifos. You can hear it on the SDH network. Soda City, a team I'll be rooting for in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. That's on Thursday at 7:30. Watch on the U.S. Soccer YouTube channel. Number three on things that make me smile, the buzz that's starting to be generated about the World Cup coming next summer. I was part of a great conversation last week on the influence of the World Cup, the power of influence on soccer in Atlanta. It was an event called Sharing the Field. It was at the Wild Leap Brewery. It was put on by CSE and YAH. I was part of a panel, co-moderated it with our good friend Jillian Sakovitz. Great conversation, and I think a lot of people are really starting to think about what the legacy of this event is going to be. If you were here during the Olympics in 1996, legacy wasn't really anything that we talked about at that time. It was just about getting the event done. And it came off great, and it was a great Olympics. And I feel like afterwards, we all kind of were like, ah, man, we could have done better. I like that we're over a year out and we're already thinking about what we can do better, what soccer can look like in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast after the World Cup is here next summer. Can't wait to see that conversation continue to develop. You can hear that roundtable, by the way, on the SDH network. There are two of them. One's about infrastructure. One's about influence. SDH network, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find it. Please check those out. The conversation is starting to develop, people, and I'm really excited to see that continue to grow. Thank you for spending some time with me tonight. We'll be live from Cincinnati on Saturday. 1:30 is a pregame start with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. 2:40 is the kickoff with myself and Mike Conti. And then I'll be back next Monday night at 10 o'clock for another edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Adios, everybody.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.